Pastor Mai, hello and welcome to this episode of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. A new skate park in Castletown is just weeks away from completion. We speak to the commissioner behind the project and those building the concrete riding bowl at Poulsen Park, said to be a world-class facility. Residents in Port St Mary fear a road could collapse if development on the underway continues, and Douglas Council want to see changes to the way social housing is funded. The new skate park being built at Poulsen Park in Castletown is going to be world class, according to the man behind the project. Local Commissioner Jimmy Cubbin says after years of fundraising and hard work, the £165,000 facility will be finished within the next 3 weeks. In 2012, he set up a charity with the long-term aim of modernising Poulsen Park by providing a state-of-the-art concrete riding facility. The group raised thousands in contributions from a number of local businesses and received £50,000 in donations from both Castletown commissioners and the Manx Lottery Trust. A high point of the campaign included an endorsement from skateboarding icon Tony Hawk, who, along with other pro skaters from the Bones Brigade, donated a signed board. I went down to Poulsen Park to the site of the new skate park to find out more.
You want to come in and have a word on the boys or what? We could have word on that,
I don't know. I don't know, it's kind of like a childhood dream, isn't it, really, to do things like this.
What's special about this skate park?
Pumping around the park's a bit different to going back and forth. So people will be able, they'll be like pumping around this, and that's like a totally different way of skating. It's really enjoyable, and when people figure it out, you know, they'll have like a really good time just pumping around.
So pumping around, just for the uninitiated, what does that mean? Does that mean you're within a sort of bowl structure, you can keep skating for longer?
That's it, yeah.
Is that right?
I suppose you're sort of like harnessing the energy and then like pushing it back out, I don't know, and keeping the energy and keeping yourself going around, sort of like a pinball or a marble.
You've got multiple line options, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, whereas like Adam says, it's not just back and forward, so it's just endless possibilities on the park like this.
And when you're working on it, are you using your experience as a skateboarder to think about what you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. We all work together and we make decisions, you know, as to what would be better, you know, or what would be bad, or, you know, whatever.
I know you're looking forward to when it's done trying it out, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Now, Jimmy, just rewind a bit, because not everyone will know why you started this and why you started this process and this project, I guess.
It was the lack of facilities in the south of the island, really. I always used to like riding when I was younger, and I still do now. Most people my age and older on the Isle of Man used to ride a BMX at some point or similar. And we just don't have the grassroots facilities yet. You go to the UK, some of these mountain bike parks and similar, and you know they do have these amazing facilities, and you can't get good at a skill sport if you haven't got the right facilities to ride on.
So why a skate park as opposed to anything else?
Well, a skate park caters for all types of riders, so BMX, jump bike, skateboard, scooter, rollerblade, and it's just being all-inclusive. You build a BMX track, the only people that are going to ride it is those that want to ride a BMX track, so this caters for everybody. And by being this style, this is from a kid who's 2 years old right up to pro level, and if they can't master this and they can't get bored of it, so they'll stay engaged. That's the big difference with a quality park that's built by riders for riders. It's about the flow and the feel, and it's not tangible, that, but people like Adam know.
This has been a big fundraising effort as well. Tell us a little about that.
Well, this started about 7 years ago, and in reality I still consider myself quite young, although my hairline wouldn't say so. And
hence the hat.
Yeah, I didn't want my kids sat around bus stops like I did as a kid, yet there always seems to be this overarching thing in the Isle of Man that's what we did, so you can do it, and it's just not good enough. We cater for everybody in the Isle of Man, but seem to forget about the young people. And, you know, I was a community police officer in Lower Douglas, and I really enjoyed that role. And all we do is, oh, they've got a hoodie on, they must be up to no good. They're just young people, and we can't just hide them away and pretend they don't exist. So we have to engage with them. I would have Douglas Skate Park in the Sunken Gardens on the prom, so we can look at our young people and go, wow, look what they're doing. Aren't they amazing? And then you can talk. And that's what the research is. It's about community engagement.
What was the cost of all this, and who's helped you with the contributions?
Castan commissioners have contributed £50,000. The Manx Lottery Trust have kindly contributed £50,000. And the rest has been raised by Castletown Parks Charity, which is a charity that I had to set up. I've had some help from some amazing people. They know who they are. It's been a mighty process. There's been some learning along the way. But unfortunately, you know, there's young people that were children that have missed out now 7 years later. You only get one chance at being young. And once you're an adult, they don't care. They move on. They're into cars and, you know, all the other things that come with being that age. So.
And you did have a glowing endorsement, which got a lot of publicity. And the fellow who gave you that is probably my only experience of skateboarding through the PlayStation. But tell us about that with Tony Hawk.
Yeah, a lad I know through his work on the island was going to the States. And he said, you know, as a company, we can't help you out at the moment. But I know this, I'm going to work with this guy, Tony Hawk. You might know him. Do you have anything he might be able to sign? I said, well, I haven't. But if he could, you know, give us something that he could sign, then... and happy days. And next minute came to the video signed by the Bones Brigade, and I mean, I brought the board down to show Adam and the other lads working on the skate park, and you couldn't believe it, could you?
Still, you know, it's around it. I'm still trying to put it together in my head, you know. Yeah, how that happened.
You know, skateboarding's an Olympic sport now. Society's changing. Not everything's just about football anymore. But when you look at grassroots sport, if you can skateboard, you can snowboard and you can surf. If you can ride a BMX, you can ride. You can go on to motocross, road cycling, mountain biking, or stay as a BMXer. You know, you look at your Steve Colleys, your David Knights, they started on pedal bikes, yet that grassroots facility gets lost. I mean, this is Castletown's central government loan on this is the first of its kind for something like this in 30 years. That's a generation. I'm over the moon with it, and to have people like Adam, when you've got the best BMX riders and the best skateboarders and what have you, pumped about coming to ride this. I know we're building something really special. This is world class. I had a lad over with me from New Zealand this week. He's 16 and he's never seen anything like this. And he's from the new world, so happy days.
How far away are we from being finished?
2 or 3 weeks. These boys here, they want to go home. G lives in Inverness. The other boys, Chris, he lives on the Wirral. They've got wives and kids. You know, they're here. They get home once a fortnight, so they're working hard to get done. The weather hasn't helped. I mean, this has been probably the wettest month in history, I think, hasn't it? Yet they get a tarpaulin over the top and they get concrete in every day. And like I say, these are master tradesmen. If anybody wants to come and see a master tradesman work, come down and watch them finish the skate park. They're here till 1 o'clock in the morning, polishing it up, and it's perfect.
Yeah, I'll leave out of that.
My name's Ian Young.
You're obviously massively involved in this project. Just tell us about the park, I guess.
The park is Jimmy's dream for a good skate park in Castletown. After there was a sort of modular one that sat here for years, it was, you know, it was usable, but not quite as what the guys were wanting. We built Braddon Skate Park, and Jimmy got in touch with me then. And Jimmy's been working for the last 2-3 years getting the fundraising for it, and we've been working alongside Jimmy doing designs and waiting to hopefully see about coming over and building the park, you know. So
has it been fun?
Great fun. Yeah, it was interesting at the start. There was a lot of things to be dealt with, but it's been great fun. I love being an Isle of Man working, you know, and the weather's generally good. Not quite as good just now, but you know.
I don't think there's many skate parks you'll build where you've got to deal with issues with getting across historic railway lines and under tree canopies.
Yeah, so tell us about those challenges.
They're challenging, you know, they can be easily met. Sometimes it takes a little bit more than expected, but you know, we got through it in the end, so yeah, obviously safety concerns as ever, you know, but yeah, everything's been going well, you know, and the guys are happy with how we've been crossing the railway and coming in and out the site, so.
And yeah. Do you skate yourself?
Yeah, I'm a skateboarder myself, yeah, lifelong skateboarder.
So how does that translate to what you're doing?
Well, basically this is a bike style park, but it's designed for all, you know, so it's designed primarily with bikes in use, but for use by skateboarders and scooters, etc. With skating myself, I've got a lot of experience of how parks work, how parks don't work. I seem to have quite a good eye for it from what I've been told, so just carrying on. This is a sort of development of a design we had, and I didn't want to build the original design, and thankfully I managed to convince Jimmy to let me redesign it, and I think we've come up with something which is pretty exceptional for the size. I'm really interested in getting it finished because I want a shot, you know. Yeah. So yeah, really happy with it, and it's going to look beautiful down here in the set, and it's a lovely spot for the park and a great wee community centre, well, community centre for the island, for the scene, really.
And Jimmy was just saying that this kind of park could be bringing people from outside the Isle of Man. Is that the case?
Oh, for sure, yeah, definitely. Well, I know we're going to come back over to use it. We've also been talking with a company to do like a skate comp over here after we built Braddon, you know, because Adam skates for Love and Skate and an English company. So we talked about doing like a comp with them, you know. Now we've got the two parks over here, I think it's a no-brainer, you know, to come over and do a weekend and yeah. Yeah, but I mean, if you look at our Instagram, you'll just see lots of people asking where this is and, oh, I want to skate that, and they're all from the UK, pretty much.
Spoke with Ian in the past about, you know, people say now, well, we only need one in the south, Port Erin doesn't need one, but Ian will tell you that in the Scottish community, might have you, every village will have one, so that you'll have a small one, so that during the week people can ride there, then on the weekend they can come here. So hopefully this is the starting point, not just, oh, Castletown's got it, let's just leave it at that. You know, there's two amazing little skateboarders in Port Erin, they're exceptional, but they're going to struggle to get here at 10, 11 years old on a Tuesday night. You know, this should be their Friday, Saturday night spot, so hopefully we can work with other communities now. You know, Ian's got good links on the Isle of Man, he's built Braddon, that what he's built here is just exceptional. So
yeah, I'll leave out of that.
That was Ian Young and Adam Maguire from Concrete Limited and Commissioner Jimmy Cubbin. Residents in Port St Mary fear digging below the former Bayview Hotel could cause the collapse of the main road. Haven Homes is in the process of excavating an embankment to make way for two new homes, but some villagers worry it'll threaten the stability of the slope. They've formed the Bayview Road Action Group, which held its first public meeting to discuss the issue last Saturday in Port St Mary Town Hall. The developer insists the work is being done in a professional manner with full planning approval. Last week, I spoke to those behind the action group, resident John Parr and Commissioner Alec Merchant.
We're looking at an excavation under a steep embankment dating back some considerable number of years, about 4 years or something like that, more than that. Originally, the site sloped down almost evenly as far as the wall. Now it's been some long time ago excavated and then refilled.
And is it rock or soil?
It's soil all the way down.
There is no rock in there. I believe it was actually dug out in 2012. I was off the island at the time for a few months, but some of this was happening while I was away.
Port St Mary, soil banks, we've seen what's happened before. Is there concern about what's going on here?
There's been a history of collapse. Further along Willow Terrace, at the back of the end house at Willow Terrace, there'd been a collapse due to excavation there historically. Several years ago, there's been a collapse at Happy Valley, and I believe one of the householders, previous owners of one of the houses further along there, past the garage, you can see, had stability problems with that house. So there's a history of instability all the way along the base of the Bayview Road.
Historically, there was a chapel on the site, which is now occupied by the Garden of Rest. That was demolished because of concerns about the instability of the site.
With these concerns about instability, I mean, have building control come and made any concerns known? I mean, why is this progressing if there is that fear of something going terribly wrong?
The building control issue is a perplexing one. From my point of view, what is happening here appears to be excavation. Building control are viewing it as site clearance. My view would be that if you are digging into an earth bank to remove the vegetation that is holding the bank together, particularly when it's at a steeper angle than the required 45 degrees, that is becoming something different. It's a risky enterprise that is something different from simply site excavation. And there's a tree here that is supposed to be protected. The roots of this tree have already been damaged enough sufficiently to kill the tree, I would expect.
Now, John, your property, I believe, could be directly affected by this. Is that a concern for you?
We live a matter of 20 or 30 yards further down the road from the site.
Are you worried about this?
Yes. I mean, apart from the risk of the collapse of the roadway, there is an obvious risk that a large part of the village will be totally incommunicado. There is no other roadway out of this end of the village. There's no access for emergency vehicles. The only access will be through Lenchas and round a hairpin bend and then down a wiggly road. You get a car down there, but you wouldn't get anything else down there. Yeah.
What are you both planning to do about this?
Well, we're holding a public meeting in the town hall on Saturday. We're looking to...
At
10.30. We're looking to get involved in a crowdfunding exercise to see if we can actually mount a legal challenge to what's going on. The more people get involved, the more likelihood is that we'll hit the financial target we need to take this on.
Has the developer in question been in contact with you? Have you been in contact with them? Have there been an exchange of these concerns?
No and no.
I would concur with that.
Would you not want to try and build a bridge with them to understand what it is that they're trying to do?
I don't believe that such a bridge is capable of construction. I think they've made it perfectly clear that they're going to proceed irrespective of any concerns.
Those behind the Bayview Road Action Group, John Parr and Alec Merchant. We'll be right back. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. Douglas Council's Housing Committee has described the current mechanism used to fund social housing as unsustainable. Local authorities are given a subvention by the government to provide the homes due to the shortfall between rental income and capital costs. But with this comes arbitrary limits on spending, which councillors feel are needless and unhelpful. I spoke to the chair of the Housing Committee, Claire Wells. She explained the current funding system to me.
The way it works is there is a deficiency allowance which we receive from the government where the rental income doesn't cover any capital loans that we have. They will pay for the shortfall, basically, and that's how it works. And I think if you look at the housing stock that we have, and probably for some of the other authorities, including the DOI, we've got an ageing stock. And that means that a lot of capital work is going to have to be put in to bring these houses up to standard and keep them good for the population. Unfortunately, the more capital programme work we put in, the more loans we have to take out, which means our loan repayments increase, which means that in theory, our deficiency requirements will increase. So if we're in a position where rents are not increasing, but our expenditure is increasing, then as far as we're concerned, it becomes unsustainable. So the taxpayers will end up paying more on the deficiency because the deficiency will increase and there's no increase in relation to the income. So that's what we're talking about when it comes to it not being sustainable.
You've raised this issue many times previously. What can be done? What can be done to ensure that the council gets adequate funding and has control of that funding in such a way that you can address the problems with your stock?
Okay, so we have been working very closely with the DOI in relation to our stock because we have got properties now that are really coming to the end of their life. And we've got some programmes in place in order to deal with that. We're now into, I think it's the third year of what we propose as a five-year plan in relation to rental increases. And we have suggested that the DOI look into this. And in January, we did get a letter from them where they were looking at putting a plan together, a five-year plan, where that would be made available to all residents so that they would know what their increases would be year on year. And we could then plan our budgets accordingly. Unfortunately, that doesn't appear to have gone anywhere, whether or not that's because the DOI haven't been able to progress it themselves or because there were other authorities who weren't happy with that plan, I'm not entirely sure.
Is that disappointing?
It's disappointing because I think it's something that was there to help everybody. And it's always so easy for local authorities to look at their own books and become sort of where they just look at their own things rather than looking at it as a whole. And I think it's really important to sometimes remember that housing isn't just a local authority issue. Housing is an island-wide issue. All authorities provide housing. All authorities have to look after housing. So to try and get a plan that works for everybody is really quite important to ensure that this deficiency issue that we have at some point in the future is eradicated.
Do you think it could be? Do you think it ever could be? I mean, that's been one of the things people have said is it will always require some element of subvention. I mean, stock will always be aging, always need maintenance.
Absolutely. It's always going to need that. And it's always going to need some sort of input from the taxpayer, because at the end of the day, that's what social housing is all about. But the less of that we need, the better. And what I think we really need to remember is that the people who are governing this at the moment are catching up with the shortfall that has been created by people who didn't want to increase the rents many years ago, despite all authorities probably, I know Douglas did, but I don't know about everybody else, saying you need to increase the rents because of all these issues. So people weren't willing to do that.
Was it politically expedient for them to not put the rents up back then?
Oh, do you know, that's such a tough one, Ewan, because yes, but the answer has to be yes, doesn't it? Because at the end of the day, you don't want to increase rents because you want people to vote for you and vote you into government because that's where you want to be. I'm not saying that that's what people did, but
it was the times of milk and honey.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, I don't even know who was involved, so I'm not picking on anybody. But I think.
But are we paying for that now, basically?
But I think we are. I think we're paying for the fact that people didn't look to the future; they were only looking to the very short term of housing and can we afford housing now? Oh, well, yes, okay, we can. But they didn't think, well, actually, in the long term, we still need to maintain, we still need to keep up the stock. And yes, we're absolutely paying for that now because maintenance hasn't been done. We now haven't got the money coming in that we need to in order to maintain them. And now we are doing catch up, really. Mm.
Tenants, of course, are at the heart of this. They will see, usually they've been seeing in the last years, inflationary increases, sometimes above, sometimes below. Is it fair for them to continually be the focal point of a need for income to continue to rise? I mean, do we need to look at a different kind of model where they're not at the heart, or will they always be at the heart of any sort of income rises?
I think it's shared, really, isn't it? It's shared between taxpayers and those who are living in the properties. Yes, those living in the property are always going to see some sort of an increase, whether it be CPI or above CPI. And that is the nature of living, really, isn't it? Living in any housing, whether or not you own your own property, you rent privately, or you rent through an authority, there is always going to be an increase of some sort. Unfortunately for us, in all sectors, wages don't always match up with what the increases are, but that doesn't mean that the increases don't happen. And it doesn't mean that we're not aware of that for those who are having to pay the rent. But ultimately, when your costs are going up, you've got to make the money somewhere.
But then it begs the question about some form of means testing.
So Douglas are very for means testing, and the DOI have been talking about it for many years now, but it just doesn't seem to be coming into place. I don't really understand why they can't do it, because at the end of the day, people who are getting child benefit are already means tested. So why can't that be in every other sector? There is something that which is being brought into place, which is a 5-year tenancy for local authorities. And that does help, because there are people now who are coming to the end of that 5-year tenancy who no longer fit the criteria. And there are things in place to increase their rents to ensure that they are paying what they can, as opposed to those who can't. And if they are still eligible for housing, then they're still housed. I'm not saying that we keep people out. We don't. That is not how it works. It just means that your rent would increase if you are over the threshold at the moment. So in a way, there is a type of means testing, but I think the general public and taxpayers would like to see a proper form of means testing for social housing, because there is a view that there are people in social housing who shouldn't be there. I personally haven't seen a lot of it. Most people that I speak to and see need the housing and they should be there. I think what means testing will do, which is possibly why there is a reluctance to bring it in, is actually it would probably increase the social benefit side of things, because people aren't getting what they should be. And I kind of wonder, rightly or wrongly, whether that is the reason why they're not bringing it in.
A question that has to be asked in this, obviously the council are administering the largest housing stock on the island. Are you as efficient as you can be?
Are we as efficient as we can be? I think things are improving dramatically. I think we are in a position, a lot better position now than we have been in many years. We're in the process of putting a new system in place within our housing department called Civica, which is going to help us in many ways to make sure that we are driving maintenance issues forward. We are using our budgets in the best way possible.
Is that software? Sorry, Civica.
Yes, Civica is a software that we're putting in place within the council housing department, which is absolutely going to take us to another level of ensuring that we are doing things in the best way possible and keeping our tenants informed as well. It's a staged process and we're a couple of years off the whole thing being in place, but it's definitely going to help us. And having a look at our maintenance logs and stuff at the moment, we're definitely a lot better than we have been in recent years. And we've got projects coming into place which will help that as well.
I'm just curious about this software. What does it enable you to do that you can't do?
Oh, so many things. So it kind of encompasses all maintenance stuff. So in the long term, what will happen is tenants will be able to log on to a site. They'll be able to check their rent accounts. They'll be able to log faults. We'll be able to contact our tenants through text messages to let them know if somebody's coming to do a fix. All sorts of different things that will help us be efficient in what we do and make the best use of our budget, really, because everything's kind of a bit here, there and everywhere at the moment. And it's going to be fantastic to bring it all together and ensure that we are using our allowances in the absolute best way possible.
Will it be possible to match this software up with what other authorities have?
I think there is talk about them using the software that we're using. We are the first ones on the island to bring it. We were very lucky to get Civica to come on board with us to bring it forward, because they are definitely the world leaders, I would say, at the moment in this type of software. And we've been working very closely with them. The other authorities and the DOI are aware that we're doing it, and I think they're quite interested to see where we go with it.
I did want to ask you, of course, within the resolutions, you have asked that local authorities be responsible for setting the rent where appropriate and get rid of that allowance system, which has been acknowledged as to be historic and doesn't really bear relevance or give you any flexibility. Local authorities, what case can you make for them to be in charge of rent setting? Because ultimately, a lot of these costs, a lot of these loans, it's the department who are accountable for them.
Well, I would say we're accountable for them, because at the end of the day, we are the authorities that take them out. So we get the okay from the DOI, and yes,
But they have to rubber stamp them, they have to ensure
they have to rubber stamp them, but we still have to pay them at the end of the day. So I think for me, the biggest thing is about just saying, this is, say you get 30% or 50% I think 50% is probably better. So if we say 50% of your total income comes to you and you get to do with that what you want to do, so that would be maintenance, sheltered accommodation, administration, whatever, instead of saying you can only have this percentage for that, this percentage for that. If for 1 year, our sheltered accommodation actually doesn't need anything, but our maintenance does for anything, say, I don't know, we have a big hit of void properties and all of a sudden we need some extra cash there. Hmm. We can use money and we can divert it as necessary. I think all local authorities know their housing stock a lot better than the DOI do in detail.
So prescribed limits in that sense aren't relevant.
Yeah, useful. I don't think they're useful, and I think they're actually prohibiting, you know.
But aren't they regularly surpassed by the DOI themselves on occasion?
Gosh, now I think they were surpassed last year from the DOI. I think it did come in their budget to say they were. I wouldn't say they were regularly surpassed by anybody. We definitely don't. I think we've never tried to. Mm.
But is there a case perhaps to, spend what you will and ask forgiveness later?
It's not the way we work, I'm afraid, Ewan. I think we definitely try to do things to the book and make sure that we don't overstep the limits that we've been given. But we have asked year on year for those limits to be looked at because they are not helping us in the long term. And we have had some help from the DOI because we've got a new capital program in place where we've got a certain amount of money that we can go to them and say, right, we now have this scheme that we want to put in place. Can we use some of that budget? So that has helped us. But again, it's a capital program rather than just getting a bit more income to do the day-to-day necessary stuff.
Chair of Douglas Council's Housing Committee, Claire Wells. That's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon. And you can listen again to this episode online via the Manx Radio website or through Spotify as a podcast. But for now, Gurumayu and goodbye.